Mark chapter 4. That's why I got the big book out today. I had my phone and I was doing too much of this. Last week's message, I want to reiterate a little bit on it because I've had a lot of questions. Remember the title of last week's message. Look for the man who has water. Look for the man who's carrying the pitcher of water. I did not preach neglect everyone who has a problem in your life, okay? That's not what the message was. It was not turning people away and shoving them aside and not letting them, you know, pour out their feelings. But you do have to give some balance in that. I explained it this way to a gentleman. You can help somebody home over and over again, okay? How many times are you going to let them puke in your car helping them home? Hello? How many times are you going to let them puke in your car and they're not going to get to clean it up the next day? Hello? Your ears were not meant for trash. Your ears were meant for solutions, and your ears were meant for the Word of God. You're a creation of God, and the Bible tells us that it is by His words things come to life. We're the creation. We come to life through the living Word of God. Amen? And so if we're going to come to life, then what would bring death? Problems and issues and circumstances with no solutions. Amen? We have to understand that we're looking for people who have solutions in our life. We're looking for people that can give us some answers in our life. We're looking for people that can bring life to us. They're bringing fresh water to us. They're not always bringing problems. If the friends that you're surrounded with are always bringing problems, you need to find a new friend circle. That doesn't mean you just cancel out those friends. It doesn't mean you turn your back on those friends. It's just that you are in the wrong friend circle. And they're going to keep you where you're at. I think it's very interesting when you go to everybody enjoys the invitation to the class reunion. Every time you get the invitation in, you smile and you think about the kids you grew up with. It'll be nice to see them. It'll be good to get in contact with them again. And you think about that and you're really excited till you're 30 days out from that. Then you're going, oh God, who's going to be there? What are they going to remember? What are they, you know what you're doing? As you're getting closer and closer, you know you've changed. But you know they're going to see you as you were. Amen? And so as long as you stay in a circle of people who see you as you were, you will never blossom into who you're called to be. You got to begin to realize there are those that you're going to mentor, and mentorship can't get too familiar. Can't get too friendly. Can't get too close. Say, oh, Pastor, you're way off base. You get somebody who has gotten too familiar with you. I've had people that they want to be mentored, and then all of a sudden they're calling you at 11 o'clock at night to be mentored. I can return the phone call at 5 o'clock in the morning and say, I'm ready to mentor you now. Hello. There's a line of respect. And you have to understand, as a child of God, you've got to be careful demanding that respect because you've got to walk in humility. Okay? But if you don't get respect, it might be time to pull back. If they're just using you as a soundboard every time they see you, might need to pull back a little bit. I thought it was horrible when I first heard it But as I meditate on it, not so bad idea, okay? Kenneth Copeland, I was listening to George Pearson. He was talking about living with the Copelands. And the Copelands have their home out there on the property at Eagle Mountain. When they got that built out there, there's a pretty much kind of a single path road out there to the home out there by the lake on Eagle Mountain Lake. And George was talking about that they had some issues going on with the church and that kind of thing. And they contacted Brother Copeland, needed to ask some questions. Because Brother Copeland doesn't pastor the church. He doesn't run the church. The church is, that's George's, and that's his daughter's, and they do that. But he called to get an appointment to go out to the house to talk to him about a problem and relayed to him the problem before he got there so he would have time to think about that before he got out there to talk about the problem. This is your daddy. Do you see the level of respect that's being paid to this man? That we're not just going to show up. It was kind of late at night, 9 o'clock, something like that. He's in his house slippers. He's in his pajamas and his robe. Answers the door, come on in, sit down at the kitchen table to talk this problem over. Okay? But he said, we had to call and get an, will it be okay? We didn't just show up at the door. Are you seeing the level of respect that's being paid? That's the level of respect that needs to be paid to you. You're owed that respect. Those children, you raised them. That friend, you have been a friend, and a friend indeed. You don't need to sit there and just then call up and when I've got an issue and I call a friend, I call them up and say, hey, I got this issue. Wanting to know when you might have time this week to talk it out. I need to talk to you about it. Give them some time to think about it. Sometimes Vic will spend maybe a week thinking about it before he wants to really talk to me. So last week was not talking about shunning your friends. Last week was building mature relationships with those who are around you. And some refuse to mature. And if they refuse to mature, it might be time for you to cut some strings and let them grow up. Hello, that's not hard. That's life. Amen? They'll make it without you. You're not their savior. You are not Jesus. You are not God. You are a human being, and you can only do so much. Christ is the one that's going to have to move on them, okay? So I'm going to give you another. These are hard life lessons in church. We don't talk about them in church. We don't deal with them. We don't teach on them at church. We feel that as Christians, somewhere we've been told that because we hear instant in season and out of season, that means whether you feel like it or not, you have an answer for someone. You're ready. Whether you're all studied up or you're not studied up, because the Word of God lives inside of you, and all you have to do is open up your mouth and let the Spirit of God speak through you. He will bring all those things to remembrance that they need at the time that you're speaking, okay? That's what he's talking about here. It's not talking about you being available for everyone at all times to listen to all kinds of garbage. Your ears were not meant for garbage. Not meant for garbage. Your ears were meant for answers. Your ears were meant for positive results. You're going to have obstacles. We all have issues and problems in our lives. Amen? And we all need someone to lean on and talk to go to and talk to. But we're looking for someone who's carrying water and has some solutions, can help us go to some solutions. Find some answers. Amen? This is going to help you in your prayer life with God. Because God's first name is not O. Everybody likes that. His first name is not O. And we don't need to use God as a trash heap that we just pour out all of our garbage on him. I'm going to show you something here. Jesus gets kind of a little frustrated with his disciples because he has given to them some issues of the kingdom. Now, when I'm talking to you about this right now, we're talking about issues of the kingdom. These are principles, ethical ways of operating that will allow the kingdom of God to flow in your life, in the decisions you make, the places you work, raising your children, just different areas of your life, having relationships. Amen? You sit down and listen to couples, and you find out when they talk, all they're talking about is their problems and complaining about their day. And you know, a husband and a wife can only take so much of that. If every time you get together, all you hear is just a bombarding of my problems and my day and how horrible it was and everything that went wrong today. If that's what you get to come home to every time, guess what? Somebody else talking to you about anything is going to feel pretty good and refreshing. Better hope it's not the opposite sex. Building a relationship that pulls you away from, or pulls your spouse away from you. It's called respect. And you can't have respect if you don't respect yourself. And you can't have respect if you don't love yourself and know who you are in Christ. It all comes down to an identity problem, okay? So when you walk out of here and you feel like that maybe I said just shun people, I didn't say shun people. But there are some problems you can't fix. And you've got to get them to the one who can fix them, and that is Jesus Christ. So now we're going to go, and here's how. Jesus has given them a parable, and it's about the sower and the reaper. He's talking about four types of soil that you can sow seed on, and the sower goes out and he sows, and he gives them this parable. It's a wonderful little parable. Talks about where on the side, some seed falls on the side of the road, and the enemy comes along, devil comes along, and he just eats that seed up. And then the next one, he says it falls on stony ground, and that, you know, we all know that the root system can't go in that stony ground, so it stays kind of on top of those stones. And when the sun comes, it has no place to draw moisture, so it withers up. It withers away. Okay. All right. He says some of that ground is thrown into weed seeds, and the weed seeds grows up faster and chokes out the good plant. And then some seed falls on good soil. Now, those are four types of soil, and that fourth soil, a harvest is reaped. So that means everywhere you sow seed into people, you're going to have four types of soil, and I can tell you everybody has four types of soil working inside of them. We used to look at this as a parable of you got this, that, and the other. You know, they're healthy in some areas of your life. Other areas of your life, you've got some cares and other things are growing up with the good seed. In other areas of your life, you've got offenses. Those are the stones in the stony ground. Those are offenses. Do you know what they used to do when they used to, kingdoms used to come in? We have to look at Jesus' day. Kingdoms would come in to take a country, and they would uproot their trees. And then they would throw stones all over their ground. And they'd fill their soil up with ground, with stones, to destroy their ability to create crops. Do you know what that's an offense? They offended the people and they offended the ground. So when we harbor offenses, when we're offended in an area of our life, you know, there's areas that people can touch and then there's areas you can't go, right? And those areas we can't go are places that we're hurt in. Places that we're hurt in are places that we've been offended. And the places that we've been offended is places that are stony ground. And places where there's stony ground, God comes along and he wants to sow the word of a result for you, an answer for you, a solution to the situation. But because of our hurt and because of our harboring that hurt and things were not justified for us, they did me wrong or this did me wrong or that did me wrong. I cannot let go of that, and you will never be able to harvest out of that field in your life. But you might have another field over here that is great ground in your life. And you see a harvest all the time. So you see God moving over here, and God's not moving over here. So we focus on this over here and say, well, God's moving in my life. Everything's fine. And God's saying, no, not everything's fine. I want to fix this offense. I'm wanting to heal this land because I want you having a full harvest. I don't want it, you know, some 20, some 30, some 60-fold. 100-fold, do you see he's using the four parts? 20, 30, 60, 100. He's four different types of soil. He's not wanting you just to get a percentage of harvest in your life. He wants harvest in your life everywhere you look. Okay? And this path that says there's a way there on the road, that it doesn't bring up anything. The devil just comes in and gets that right away. He just takes it. There's things that are said to you, God's trying to speak to us, and we just totally ignore it because the way we've always done it, the way mama did it, the way dad did it, the way grandma and grandpa did it, the way my life is, the people that are around me, once again, who you hang around with. Pat and I are always eager to hang around. When we were young, we hung around some older people that were young. Youthful older people. Because youthful older people can teach you something. Old people won't teach you much. They're pretty curmudgeon and grumpy, and I'm not being judgmental. It's just how the way they've chosen to live, okay? I do not want to live that way. I want to live a life full of life. And so with living with that, you know, we've got one couple that's a friend of ours, and we watched them at our age. They had a beautiful location where they lived. And where we live, you live in your home, you stay in your home, and you die in your home. See, I'm talking to the right generation right here. We bought a home. We raised the kids. We're going to live there. We're going to die there. Our home has steps. Our home has decks. Our home has slopes. Our home has ditches. Our home has lots of property. Our home has all these things that I have to take care of. And one day I'm going to be too old to take care of it. But by golly, I'm living right here. I ain't moving. I'm staying right here, by golly, and ain't nobody moving me off of it. And we'll age out there, growing older, trying to take care of something we can't take care of. Because this is how Grandpa did it. This is how Grandma did it. This is how Aunt Hattie did it. Uncle Joe did it this way. And bless God, I'm going to do it this way. Hello. You can't look for the 120 years and operate the same way you've always been operating. Because the way you operate the same way your mama did, your daddy did. They're all dead out there in the field with a tombstone. At a certain age. And you're probably going to die at that certain age also. Because you're not doing anything differently. You're not believing anything differently. You're not functioning anything differently. You're not preparing anything differently. That's the path he's talking, the roadside that he's talking about. That are people that will not do anything differently. They're going to stay the way they are, and they're not going to change, and you're just meddling with me. I'm not meddling with you. Do whatever you want to do. The one thing you get in this kingdom is God loves you. He saves you. You've got a seat in heaven, and you can do whatever you want to do. Nobody's making you do anything. If you want to operate in the kingdom, though, that's where everything has to shift. That's where you got to change, because the kingdom operates a certain way. And if you want to operate a certain way, you can't live with a pathway in your life that's trodden down, beaten down by the generations before you that have packed it down where nobody can plant seed on it anymore. We call it hard-headedness, stubbornness. You know, that hard-headedness runs in that family. Well, you know, that's because they all believe the same thing and they all operate the same way. The Hammonds family, I'm a Hammond, so I can pick on the Hammonds. I'm not a Wharton, so I'm not going to pick on the Whartons today. Okay, I'm not yours, so I'm not going to pick on you. But the Hammonds family, we're known for being hard-headed. We just were. I remember my father-in-law, you know, said something to me one day, "Well, you're a Hammonds." I said, "What does that mean?" He said, "Hard-headed." I said, "Well, you're a flat. You're hard-headed too, you know." But we can say that with a chuckle because our hard-headedness, what does it get us? An inability to learn anything new. That's what it gets us. Now, you can call this meddling, but Jesus is just saying, he's just stating the fact, there's four kinds of soil in your life. There's areas of your life you're just hard-headed about. You're just not going to stop the way you do it. You're not going to change. And he's getting frustrated with the disciples because they're coming to him with this parable saying, "We don't understand it." And he said, "What do you mean? If you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand anything about the kingdom?" So let's go on down here because he's got more to say. He says, "Know you not this parable? And how then will you know all parables?" Now, I just gave you the parable. Now, let's go down here. And he said to them in verse 21, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be used on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest, neither was there anything kept secret that should not come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus used that right there, that phrase. It's one of his famous phrases. Anyone who has ears to hear, let him hear. And what he's trying to say is, if you can get some understanding here, you can understand what I'm trying to say. Now, when you look at the context of that passage right there, that verse right there that we just went through, I asked my wife when I was studying this, and I said, "Honey, whenever you saw the passage in the Bible that says, you know, that the Word of God comes in like a light, and when it comes in, that nothing's going to be hidden that's secret, and it doesn't come in to go under a bush, it doesn't come in to go under a bed, but it comes to bring light, and when it brings that light, everything that's hidden is going to be revealed, and everything that's in secret is going to be shown." I said, "Now, when you heard that in your lifetime, what did that mean to you?" She said, "Well, God was going to bring his light in, and everything I'm hiding and everything I'm secretive about, he's going to show it to me." How many of you, without the show of hands, have felt the same way about that passage? Okay. All right, can I give you a different light on that passage? Jesus is talking here, and he goes on to talk about, let's stay with what he's talking about. He says, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he has." Okay, now when you, there's a little bit more to this story. We look at that and we go, "Oh my, you know, if when Jesus shows up in my life, If I don't have anything, what I got's going to be taken away. Hello? And he's going to expose to me, to myself, and maybe to somebody else, of all the secrets that I carry and all of the hidden things in my life that I don't want anybody to know about, okay? Let's take this, because he's talking about knowledge. What he's talking about is sowing seed. He's delivering knowledge, right? And some of that knowledge falls on hard ground. Some of it falls on stony ground. Some of that knowledge falls on areas where there's other weed seeds, cares of this life sprout up, and we get all caught up with it. But then he turns around and he says, now, after I give you this, I want you to understand that when the light comes, nothing will be hidden and nothing will be secret. He's talking about knowledge still. He turns around and says, take heed to what you hear. What is hearing? Receiving knowledge, right? In the translations, he's got a conversation going on here all about knowledge. And what he's trying to tell you, he says, when the light comes of my knowledge, what did he say in his word? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. God sends his word, and the Bible says that there is secrets in that word, and it's not hidden from you, but it's hidden for you. He's coming in with the word, and it's going to have the answers for your situation, for your circumstance. If you can meditate, he says, with what measure you mete out with this knowledge. What is he saying? What measure of knowledge you receive, this light of his word that you meditate on, will be the what you meditate on will be the amount of word that you can receive, and it goes beyond knowledge, but it comes into understanding. He's not talking about your sin at all. He's not talking about your secret things at all. He's talking about the word of God is hidden and it's a secret. It can only be revealed by the Spirit. And when it is revealed to us, even though it's revealed to us by the Spirit, still doesn't mean that it's going to bring a harvest to us. It will only bring a harvest to us if we tend to the word that we have received. We meditate on that and it becomes a part of us. It becomes us. And we become it, and we begin to operate in that. And not in the way mama operated, daddy operated, grandma and grandpa operated. We operate. What's happening now? He is now plowing through the path of our life so that the generations ahead of us can draw life out of that, and they can live a longer, stronger, more powerful life because there's no path there that's pounded down of the way we do it and the way we think about it and the way we've always been. God says, I have a new thing. I'm wanting to come in with a new word. I'm wanting to come in with a new revelation, and nothing will be hidden from you. And nothing, it's not coming in to be put under a basket. It's not coming in to be put under the bed. It's coming in to illuminate your life. And when it illuminates your life, you're going to see it. And now if you'll meditate on it and let it become you, then change will take place, and I can cultivate your soil. I can work out the weeds. I can get out the stones. And we can have a harvest everywhere in your life, in every area of your life. Amen. 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 Do you know what hinders? I'll show you one stone that will hinder an area of your life and it'll never prosper. Divorce. Some of you have been divorced. Some of you have been remarried. Some of you are very happy married. If you're not happily married after your divorce or before your divorce or not been divorced and you're still not happy, don't look at one another right now. Okay? But what I'm saying is, if you don't get over the offense of that last hurt, if you don't allow God to come in and pull out the stones, those stones will be the stones you put in your children's soil. Hello. And they will live with stones in their soil from a borrowed offense. Borrowed stones. And they'll go through the same thing you went through, going through the same headaches you went through, going through the same thing because you have not let God. God has knocked on that door, and he's knocked on that door, and he's knocked on that door. You've gotten offended at pastors. You've gotten offended at churches. You've gotten offended at people. You've gotten offended at everybody that you turn the television on and they start on. God's trying to get soil in your life. He's bringing the light. He's exposing it, and he's showing you the truth and trying to bring you to a place where he can work your soil so that you bring a harvest in that area of your life. It can be finances. Finances are one that we can certainly take finances and we can drop them off as an offense to the next generation. Pat and I, we were not schooled in finances. We did not grow up in a home schooled with finances. Finances were a private issue, a private matter. Pat and I decided that is a stone in the soil, and we're going to let God move and get that cleaned up. And so we just decided that we're going to teach our children finances at an early age. And they're going to begin to know. If they don't do it, then it's on them. But they're going to know. They're not going to be 25 years old and somebody mentioned a Roth to them and you're looking at them like they got two heads. You don't have a clue what a Roth is. Our kids knew what a Roth was at age 15. They had a Roth, I think, by the time they were age 16 or 17, they had a Roth. They knew what that was. They might not have totally understood it. For a long time, Aaron thought we were just stealing his money. We were stealing from him. And he was losing his money and was never going to see it again. Until one day it was time to buy a house and I said, where's that Roth at? And he's looking around, I don't know. He's still giving into it, but he doesn't know where it's at, doesn't know what's going on. I said, well, you might want to call somebody and find out what's going on. Finally he got with Kurt and he figured out, well, that's a really good deal, Dad. No kidding. It's a great deal, you know. It's not the answer to all your financial problems or your issues, but you know what? It's a great plan to get you started and get you understanding. I was 26 years old and didn't have a clue. When I was 22, somebody tried to talk to me about it, and he was a stranger, and I thought he was after my money. So I want nothing to do with you, you know? Finally, somebody I trusted talked to me, and I was able to do something. That is ground on the road that has been paved that we've believed or assumed whatever we believed and assumed. An assumption will that'll get you. That you know what assumption is. It's the lowest form of human knowledge. Did you hear me? Assumption is the lowest form of human knowledge. So Jesus here in this parable is trying to help us understand that the seed is God's word. And he's wanting to get it in our soil. Why? So it produces. The seed has answers. When it starts producing in our life and creating a harvest, it not only changes the landscape of our life, but we have a harvest to feed others with. Now you've got something for the individual who comes along and is always giving you, you know, the garbage, that individual. Now you've got substantial food to feed them off of your harvest of the word that God has given you. What's that called? Revelation. Revelation knowledge. And that revealed knowledge, how's that revealed knowledge come? From one who sits and he meditates on what has been brought to him. What he say about the one who doesn't sit and meditate on what's been brought to him? He says, what even he has that's been brought to him will be taken away from him. Does God take that away from you? No, God doesn't take it away. If you don't meditate on it, you know what happens? The devil comes in and takes it. Your offense comes in and takes it. Or the cares of this life come in and take it. And then you're sitting around scratching your head going, you know, and then somebody preaches it again. It so happens God gets you in another location, in another place, under another person preaching, and all of a sudden you're hearing it again, and you're going, you know, I've heard this before. It's touching your life, but you're not pulling out a pencil. You're not writing it down. You're not scribbling in your Bible. You're not highlighting. You're not putting down notes. You know what you're doing? Just like you did the last time, you're listening, going, you know, I've heard this before. This is really good. I've heard this before. Boy, that's good. I tell you what, Pastor, that was a good message today. Really touched my heart. That's wonderful that it touched your heart. Did you put down a note anywhere so that you could meditate on it? Because if it touched your heart, what happened was the light of God came in. Now, are you going to meditate on this, or is it going to be taken away from you? You know how I know this? I can preach the same thing. See, I know what I preach. I know how y'all are. I was one of y'all before, sitting in the car. I am one of you twice a year. I go to meetings, and some of them I sleep through. I mean, when you go to 8-hour meetings all day long, you sleep some through that. Some of them I get so tired that I just miss a couple of them and I stay at the hotel and sleep so I can be ready to go for the next day, okay? But I get home with the DVD or the CD and I listen to it and I'm going, oh my word, I heard that, but I didn't hear it. You know why? Because I didn't take down a note. It touched my heart, but I didn't take down a note. I was too tired or too sleepy or whatever. So I got the CD set. See, I know me. I know how this works. I know if I'm going to see change in my life, if I'm going to see a harvest in my life, I've got to get this meditated in me. See, this doesn't come by watching one program after another program after another program after another program of TCT or Christian broadcasting. This comes from when you hear something. I remember how this first worked in my life. I was in depression. Pat would come home. I wanted all blinds drawn. I wanted light, low lights. That's how I wanted to live. And we're trying to raise children. I was in depression most of the time, fighting that. I came home one afternoon early because I just couldn't stand being on the route any longer. And when you work for yourself, you can go home anytime you want to. At that time, it was not good for me to be working for myself because I went home too often, way before I should have, and then have to work an extra day or whatever to get everything caught up. But depression would hit me, and I'd go home, and I'd sit there, and one day I turned on the TV, and I heard this guy preaching. And when he started preaching, the depression started lifting off of me. Do you know what I did? I got on the phone, and I ordered that whole CD and DVD series. Why? I didn't listen to the next guy preaching. Something touched me and something on the inside of me said, order that whole CD. You need this whole DVD series or the whole CDs. So I ordered that CD series, cost us. Pat came home and I said, honey, I got on the phone today. We're in terrible financial state. That's part of the reason I was in depression. I'm working my tail end off and we are losing everything. It was a horrible situation at that time. And I have to tell her, honey, I ordered this CD set, cost us a lot of money, off the television from this preacher. You have no idea who he is. I don't know who he is. But I tell you this, when he said it, it touched me. My pastor wasn't preaching that. He was preaching law. I got a hold of that, and I meditated on it. And you get to hear it today. And that was almost 30 some years ago, and you're getting to hear it today. Amen? So I'm telling you, this is how this kingdom works. I know this is not a flamboyant, exciting, oh my God, want to run around the building message. But what I'm telling you is this is how the kingdom of God works. You are a child of the King, and there's no reason for you to let it go by and just keep going by every day and never operating in the kingdom. It is there for you to operate in. It's yours. He said, it's given to you. I have to speak parables over here, but it's given to you. All you have to do is take it. You're chosen. This thing's given to you. All you got to do is take it. I found the people that get it, they get CDs. They're listening to it all the time. Pat was sitting down with a lady here. We took them out to lunch. Get to know who they were and that kind of thing. And we hear this, you know, ever so often. Oh, I listen to you online. We just love listening to you online. Love your messages. Said, I have several favorites. And Pat said, well, we're sitting there at lunch. We're just getting to know these people. And I'm thinking, honey, be nice. Be nice to these people. She turned around. She put her into the wall. She says, so give me a few titles of your favorite messages. And she spilled out five of them. Just bam, 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 bam. And Pat goes, wow, you really do listen to the messages, don't you? Oh, I've listened to those five or six, seven times. I'm sitting over there going, wow, somebody listens to my messages is what I was saying. And so, but you know what was happening? She's getting transformed, renewed, not letting go and going to meditate. You know that's how change takes place. You want things to change in your life? God's not coming by with a little, you know, bunny foo-foo running through the forest, tapping little bunnies on the head. He's not going to do that. You're going to change. Change is coming not by a magical wand, not by a laying on of hands. That stuff can, you know, miracles can take place, but it is not permanent change. Permanent change comes from your meditating on the life word of God. Wow. Meditating on it. You're meditating all the time. Did you know that? You're meditating all the time. I ask Pat all the time, what are you thinking? He said, well, I'm thinking about what we're going to eat for supper. Well, then we're meditating. Well, I'm thinking about the children. Well, you're meditating. Well, I was thinking about the church. I was thinking about our ministry. I was thinking about, well, you're meditating. You're meditating on something. Let's meditate on the Word of God. Let's meditate on what became life to us. Amen? Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Then you're going to see true change in your life. Okay, I know that it's 11:15, but do you want the end of this? What end of this parable was, the sower goes out to sow, and he sleeps and he rises, and the harvest pops up out of the ground, and he knows not how it happens. When you meditate on this, things are going to start to change, and you rise and you sleep, and you have no idea how that happened. What's happening? You're meditating on the Word of God. When you meditate on the Word of God, you speak the Word of God. When you speak the Word of God, life starts taking place to everything that's sown. And all of a sudden, changes are starting to take place, and you're wondering, how in the world did this happen? I can't believe things are taking place, and we didn't go out there and try to do anything. God likes it when you put less effort in. Get out of His way. Do your part and get out of His way. Quit trying to press into something. He needs your nose out of it. He wants you to meditate on His Word and let it change you. Let it change your thinking and just let it marinate in you. And as you do, as you sleep and rise, the seed's coming up out of the ground and you don't know how. But He knows how. Amen? Does this make sense to you all? It's given to us. It's given to us. Amen? It's given to you. Amen. Meditate on you. That's why I say it's hard to nail shingles down in a hurricane. When they give you the announcement that you've got cancer and you're going to die soon, it's very hard to receive your healing because you've had no opportunity to allow the light to come in, revelation take place, change take place, and for that to pop up automatically for you. And that doesn't make you a bad child of God. That just makes you a child of God who neglected their soil. That's it. You know what? You're still a child of God. Amen. 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 You're just not very good at your landscaping, but you know, how many of you got friends are not very good at their landscaping? I'm not very good at mine, so all right. But guess what? We're still neighbors, right? Amen. Still love one another, right? Amen. We're still children of God, right? Amen. All right. Father, we thank You for Your Word today. It does not return to us void, but Father, it fulfills what it is sent to do. And Father, we give You the glory and the praise and the honor that You instruct us and help us to understand what to do with Your revelation. Now, for You to give us a message like this, revelation is coming to us. Because now You're teaching us what to do with that revelation. Now, if revelation was not coming to us, why would You teach us about that revelation and what to do with it? So now, Father, we know, and right now we declare, we receive Your light of Your Word, the illumination of Your Word, the revelation power of Your Word. And Father, when we receive it, we will take it, we will meditate on it, we will put it before our eyes, we will put it in our medicine cabinet, we'll put it on our nightstand, we'll put it on our dashboard of our car, we will put it, Father, at the desk at our work. Father, we will meditate on it, and Father, until it fully changes our soil and produces life in us. And we give You the glory, we give You the praise, we give You the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.